Thanks, Noah. Just as we were singing that last song before the announcements, I just got the feeling at the very end of that that y'all believe that, that God is good and that He is with us. And that was good for my soul. So it's good to be here with you. My name is Adam. I serve as pastor of South Durham Church, just up the road, about 30 minutes. And thrilled to be invited once again to come back and bring God's Word to you here at Fellowship Raleigh this morning. Fellowship Raleigh, you guys are a dear church to my heart and to us at South Durham. We just love that you guys are about the Word of God and being together as the people of God and serving your city. It encourages us. And so thank you to Pastor Matt for the invitation to come and be with you this morning. I have to get used to saying this morning. Our church meets in the afternoon, so every time I say this morning there, I have to correct myself. It's really awkward. I'll just say today. We're thrilled to be here. We're talking today. I want to share with you from the biggest thing that the Lord laid on my heart this summer. This summer at South Durham, I had the opportunity to take a six-week sabbatical. So that's 6 weeks off just to rest and recharge and replenish in the Lord. We traveled. We had a good time. I'll share a little bit of that with you. But the biggest takeaway for me was the importance of stillness before God. And so I'm really excited to talk about that with you. We're going to be talking about the secret to fearless happiness. And, you know, spoiler, that's stillness before God. And that's where we're going to be going. I want to pray and ask the Lord's blessing. Then we'll read Psalm 46, where I'll be coming from this morning. And then we'll dive into the Word. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful to be called your people, that you have condescended to send your only Son in love for us so that we could be adopted sons and daughters of the King. We thank you that you are a God who says, I will be your God and you will be my people. We're thankful, Lord, that you're a God who promises to be in our midst, and to be with us forever. It is our joy to get together, to remind each other of those truths, to sing your praises. Lord, as I have been able just to sit in this room and stand in this room and hear your people singing, it's been a blessing to my soul, and it's a reminder that it's by your grace that we get to do that. It's your breath in our lungs. And it's by your grace that we're here. You've kept us in the faith another week. You've been good to us. You've been kind. We're coming in maybe from all kinds of different places, but Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And your love never fails, and it never gives up on us. And so we thank you for the chance to worship you. I pray that you would bless Fellowship Raleigh and all that's going on here. We thank you for the construction even that I see. Just praise your name, God, for the use of a building and a space to get together each week and lift up your praises. We pray that you would draw more and more people to yourself through this place, and also that you would grow each person here in maturity and in Christ-likeness through what all happens here and happens from here. We thank you for the opportunity now to open up your Word, to consider Psalm 46 together, and I pray that you'd give us joy as we do that. Pray that the thoughts of my mind and the meditations of my heart and the words that I say would be pleasing in your sight, that you would use them to build up your people in the faith so that we might be a city on a hill as we invite people to the big fall kickoff, Lord. Thank you for this chance now to continue in stillness before you. We ask that you bless it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So God's word from Psalm 46 says this: To the choirmaster of the sons of Korah, according to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage, the kingdoms totter. He utters his voice, the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come, behold the works of the Lord. He has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Amen. What a beautiful word, beautiful song. Well, while I was on sabbatical this summer, the first thing I did was I took 2 nights away by myself to go camp at the base of Mount Mitchell over in the Black Mountains in the western part of the state. And so I was up there 3,000 feet in the Black Mountains, and after setting up camp, one of the first things I realized is that I am not very good at being still. I brought simple meals, so that didn't take a lot of time. It took a little bit of work to get the tent set up, but it's just one guy. It's not that much. And so I'm sitting there, and there's no cell service, and I'm starting to get itchy. And it wasn't the bugs. It was the questions. It was, how's everybody back home? How's Heather, my wife? How are the kids? Does anybody need me right now? Because I can't respond. I can't hear. I am not very good at being still. It came became very apparent to me very quickly on sabbatical. I wonder how you are. How would you say you are at being still? When I say that, I don't mean like still watching TV or still reading a book or napping, although that's important too. That's another psalm. I mean just still. Before God. How are you? Does it make you itchy to think about it? My prayer for South Durham, and I think y'all's prayer together at Fellowship Raleigh, is that we would be a people who are regularly still before God to know that He is God. And that that stillness leads us then to the fearless happiness, the gladness that this psalm talks about. Psalm 46 is a song. It is a song that God's people are meant to get together and sing over and over again. It is a song that we're to sing over and over again so that we remind ourselves of the truths in this song. There are three verses or three stanzas in it. The first two verses contain reminders to celebrate, and then the last verse contains a command to remember. So there's two reminders to celebrate and one command to remember from this psalm. And following the outline or how these verses shake out, we're going to talk about fearlessness and gladness, and then we'll land on stillness. And I know it is a strange time of year to be talking about stillness because this is the season when everything's back in. We got the big fall kickoff. We're going to be busy, but in all of our busyness, if we're not first still before the Lord, it's not going to lead us in the right direction. So I want to focus us here, and I think it's a timely time to talk about stillness. The first stanza or verse of this song reminds us that because of who God is to His people, we will not fear. Because of who God is to His people, we will not fear. Listen to verses 1 and 2 again. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea. Now, let's get the image of that into our minds. The Hebrew word for earth there can mean the whole planet sometimes, or the whole of an inhabited earth, but it also just means the land. That's its most basic meaning, the land, the earth that you walk on. So, this song is not talking, when it says, you know, the earth giving way, it's not talking about the apocalypse when everything, you know, there's a huge asteroid and it's all over, or the sun explodes, or however the Lord's going to do it. It's not talking about that. It's talking about something, I think, much closer to home, and it's a little bit easier for me to get my mind around. When it's talking about the earth giving way, it's talking about earthquakes. When it's talking about its waters roaring and foaming, it's talking about hurricanes, floods. When it says the mountains being moved into the heart of the sea and the mountains tremble at its swelling, it's probably talking about volcanoes. I don't know if you've ever been in one of those events, but surely we've seen them on TV. It's talking about these huge events, these cataclysmic events that are so much bigger than us, that we can't control, we can really barely predict. I mean, even hurricanes, we can watch them come across the ocean, but like, where are they going to land? We're still guessing days before. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even if the very worst should happen, even if we lose everything in an instant. Did you see back when the hurricane hit, have you seen any of the pictures of the Bahamas? People described it as a bomb went off. I mean, everything is just gone, devastated. This psalm is saying, that's when, in that situation, even then, God is our refuge and strength. That's the image it's trying to put into our minds. And there's a logic in that that is important for us to catch. And the logic is this. If our God is big enough to be very present when you lose everything, when you've got nothing left, you have to rebuild from scratch, then our God is big enough and near enough that we need not fear even the small things, even the day-to-day losses and fears that happen on an average Tuesday. We are meant to sing the words, therefore we will not fear, even in the massive things, so that we'll be reminded, therefore we will not fear, we need not fear, even in the mundane fears of our lives. Why is that? Well, it's because of who God is to his people. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, okay, that's the earth and all that. What does it mean then that we will not fear? Does it mean we'll never be afraid? That we'll never experience the feeling of fear? Well, no. Listen, if it were true that God's people will never feel fear, then this psalm wouldn't have to be in the Bible. God wouldn't have written this psalm for us to sing to remind ourselves if it was true that we would never feel fear. The fact that the Holy Spirit puts this verse in front of us is a beautiful reminder and an acknowledgement that we are people who get afraid. So if you ever feel afraid, there's really good news. This psalm and this God are for you. They're for you. And that makes me happy because I'm scared more than I like to admit. I get scared for my family. I get scared for what's going to happen to them when they go out. Are they going to make it back okay? When my wife goes out alone at night, is everything going to be all right? You know, we flew a lot of places on sabbatical when I was a kid. I wasn't that afraid of flying on airplanes. I'm a little bit more afraid of it now because is everything going to be okay? Is everyone here going to be all right? I get all kinds of fears about my family, money. I get scared about the church and me as a pastor. I think this is common to pastors. Y'all can ask Matt later. I sometimes think, are we going to make budget? Are we going in the right direction? Are people really growing in the Lord? Are they going to be discipled? In our case at South Durham, are we ever going to get a building of our own? All kinds of fears. And then the fears that come in with that. If we're not making budget, what does that say about me as a man, as a Christian, as a pastor, as a leader? I think you probably can translate that into your own work, wherever you're at, whether you work at home or in a workplace somewhere. I've got all kinds of fears, so I'm so glad that this psalm is for people who feel fear, because I'm one of them. But, you know, I've said that this first stanza is about fearlessness. So where does that come in? Fearlessness. What does it mean to be fearless even when we might feel fear? It means that fear doesn't have to be in the driver's seat of your life. It may always be a backseat driver in your life, nagging at you, turn this way, go that way. But God, according to this song, is in the driver's seat of your life. And he's very present. and he can be trusted. God is very present in the big troubles, which means he's very near in the little troubles too. Here's an example of God's love and being in the driver's seat of your life. In Luke 12, Jesus teaches his disciples about some of the simple anxieties of daily life. You know, anxieties he's talking about, like, what will I wear? What will I eat? What's going to happen tomorrow? He says, don't be anxious. Why? He gives a reason. I want you to hear our Lord's voice in Luke 12, 22. This is Jesus speaking to his people. 12:32. He says, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. See, you can trust him. Don't be anxious in the little things because your Father is glad to give you the whole kingdom of God. Here's another example of why God can be trusted. Maybe you remember the time in the Gospels when a man's daughter was sick. And Jesus was on the way to heal her, and he was taking his time. It's like he wasn't wearing a watch. She died while he was on the way. And the little girl is at home, and her dad is with Jesus, and some of the man's servants come and tell him the bad news. And this is in Mark 5, starting in verse 35. They come and they say to him, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? That's a tough news report. I really hope that Mark, when he's recording that, is condensing down what was said. But maybe there's just nothing else that can be said. It's like, sorry, your daughter's dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? But overhearing what they said, Jesus said this to the dad. Do you remember what he said? He said, do not fear, only believe. Don't fear, in other words, trust me. Jesus is saying. And Jesus went and he brought that little girl back to life. Now, I can't tell you, nobody can tell you what God is going to do with the things in your life that you're afraid of. I don't know if he's going to bring people back to life or what he's going to do. But what I can tell you is that you can trust him, that he's trustworthy with the things you're afraid of, because he's a refuge and strength, and he's very present in times of trouble. So that's the first stanza. It's about fearlessness. The second stanza of this song is about gladness. Listen again, if you will, to verses 4 through 7. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations rage. The kingdoms totter. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Wow. I told you that I went camping at the start of sabbatical. Well, the campsite was on a river, and it backed right up to it, like tent, little fence, river. And it, I have to tell you, it made me unreasonably happy to be at this river. Just hearing the sound of the water and watching it flow over the rocks and the trees and the sounds of the bugs and the birds and everything, it made me happy. It just felt alive. It was good to be up there. Maybe it was because it was July and it was like 70 degrees, but I think the river itself made me happy. And it wasn't a special river, okay? The name of this river, somebody's got to tell me how it got this name. The name of the river is the South Tow River. what a downer for such a beautiful stream river that God created, the South Tow River. But it made me happy to be there, to look at it, to wade into it, to fall asleep. It was awesome, even though it was not a glorious river. And let me just tell you, the South Tow River has nothing on the river that this psalm is talking about, that it's singing about there in verse 4. In the book of Revelation, the Apostle John picks up on this same river. He has a vision of the holy city of God, and he sees this same river, and he calls it the river of the water of life, bright as crystal. Can you picture it? Have you seen a river like that? It's glorious. And this psalm wants to remind us of the river that makes the city of God glad. Well, where is the city of God? How do we get there? Where is that place where God is, the holy habitation, where God is in the midst of it? Where is that place that will not be moved though the earth gives way and kingdoms totter? While I was away, for the most part, I was also off the grid in terms of checking the news and checking my phone. So about 6 weeks, I didn't really tune into stuff. It did a lot for my bad phone habit. Just word of the wise, it's free. But you know what didn't change for 6 weeks while I was away from the news? The nations totter. I mean, I came back and it's just the same stories. Chaos in other parts of the world, disagreements, you know, threats of violence and war. For all the seeming uncertainty in the world, it seems like not much changes sometimes. But there is a place, verse 5, that will stand still and not be moved even when all the nations finally do give way and fall. Where is that place? Would it surprise you if I said that that place is right here in this room? It's here. Not because this is a church building, but because this is a gathering of people in whom the Holy Spirit lives. This is the city of God. Wherever God's people are now is the city of God that will not be moved, ever. Does that make you glad in Jesus? Here's what Jesus said about this. Luke 17, 20 and 21. Being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming in ways that can be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There.' For behold, the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." The place where the city of God is, where God dwells, where there's a stream that makes the city happy forever, is the church. Yahweh is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Whatever is happening in the world right now and forever, the church is the holy habitation of the Most High. And Jesus is the giver of living water that makes our souls glad, that moving water that quenches our souls. Wherever, he says, wherever two or three are gathered in his name, there I am among them. They'll never be moved. He, Jesus, is here. Now, not just like he's everywhere because he's God. He is everywhere because he's God. But he is here with his people. One day, the city of God will come in its fullness when Jesus returns. But until then, the church is the city on a hill. It is the place of God's indwelling spirit. Now, I might be saying all this about the church, and you might be thinking, really, the church? Doesn't seem that impressive. Seems like it's always a little bit in turmoil, too. There's always dust in the hallways. The church has problems. The church, maybe you're even thinking the church doesn't make me glad. The church has hurt me and it's hurt a lot of other people. Well, this song isn't saying that the church will always make us glad. This song is saying that Jesus is in the midst of the church and Jesus will make us glad. So if you want a life of meaning that will last into eternity, get in on this. Come out of the man-made world that is passing away with its desires and come into the kingdom of God through faith in Christ, what he's done on the cross, and be joined to his people, the church. Jesus promised that the very gates of hell will not overcome the church. He said that nothing, well, he said through Paul that nothing in all creation shall ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is a place that can never be shaken. When resurrection morning dawns, you see that, verse 5, when morning dawns? When resurrection morning dawns, the new Jerusalem will descend with Jesus, and everyone will see and know that the church isn't going anywhere, but will be forever with our King. God is with us. He is Emmanuel. It's been a long time since I traveled as much as we traveled this summer, but wherever we were, whether you know, it was Texas or Colorado or the mountains in North Carolina. Wherever we were, God was there with his people. God has people everywhere, and we will all one day be together. Jesus came a long way down to step out of heaven and be with us, and he did it in order to go even further and lower by dying on a cross to make payment for our sin debt. And if we believe simply in him, then we're grafted into this family of God that will stand forever. We are transferred from the kingdom of darkness, the city of man, into the kingdom of God, the city of God, where the streams of the river make everyone glad. So are you glad in Jesus? Fearlessness, gladness. The last stanza of this song is about stillness. So those were two reminders to celebrate. The third part of this song is a command to remember. If you've been thinking, okay, I know I shouldn't be controlled by fear. I know I should be glad, but how? How do I do that? This is where the answer comes. And this was, for me, the main lesson I took away from my sabbatical. Listen to the commands again in verses 11 or 8 through 11. Come, behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the chariots with fire. Just pause there for a second. All of the seemingly endless destruction in our world is under the hand of the sovereign God. Everything that seems like it's going nowhere and it's meaningless and we all ought to be afraid, we're being reminded again that this is all under the hand of our sovereign God, who is our refuge and a very present help. Okay. Then verse 10 comes the command from the voice of the Lord himself. Be still. One translation says, cease striving. Isn't that good? And know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So, you know, what's the command to remember? Be still. Cease striving. Know that God is God. You've got to be still to know that. So get still and see that God is God, and presidents and rulers are not. God is God, and wars are not in ultimate control over anybody's future. God is God, and the economy is not. God is God, and our families are not. Whatever might be happening in your family. God is God, and career or money, status, sex, comfort, and security are not. God is God, and your reputation is not. God is God, and other people are not. God is God, and you are not. You got to get still. I had to get still. God had to pump the brakes on my life so that I could see some of those things. Simple things. Things I'd have told you. Sure. Yeah, that's true. Okay, but I got stuff to do. Get still. I'm embarrassed to admit that I think before I had that enforced timeout from the Heavenly Father, I thought sometimes I was God. And I'm like 3 weeks back, and I'm still tempted to think, I got to make things happen. I'm in control here. This is all on my shoulders. I'll tell you a good cure if you're ever in that boat is to get still before God. It helps me that I'm preaching this sermon because I knew I was doing this today. So on the way here, I'd even think, okay, stillness before God. You can do that. You can get still up on the South Tow River or on the plains of Texas. Or you can get still just somewhere in your house, wherever you are. Isn't that good? You can be still wherever you are and know that God is God. That's the calling. That's the reminder. At one point in our trip, I was able to go fly fishing with another pastor who was there, which I've done this two summers in a row, which I think means I'm officially middle-aged because I go fly fishing now. But it was beautiful. I was in the Rocky Mountain National Park. We're, you know, fishing for our trout, wearing the hat and all that. and looking out at this valley that just extends seemingly forever. If you haven't been out to see the Rockies or seen big mountains, look, I love the Smokies and the Appalachian Mountains, but that's a whole different thing out there. It's big. It's really big. I took pictures of it. I'd like show people these pictures, and I'm like, this is not even what it is. You got to be there to feel it, to see it. So I'm fishing in the midst of this bigness and seeing how huge this valley is, standing in the stream with my dinky fishing rod, and it helped me to remember how small I am. And it gave me a sense of how big our refuge and strength is, how amazing it is that He is a very present help to us in our little problems. And I'll tell you, it helped to make me a little more fearless and a lot more glad. So you don't have to go to the Rockies. Doesn't hurt. If you can do it, I recommend it. But just get still. Open your Bible, the biggest book in the world, about the biggest God there is. And get in front of Him and see. See if it helps. You get fearless and glad. I have thought, and I am still prone to thinking, that if I could be a good enough person, or if I could be a busy enough person, or if I could just have it together enough, that I would be fearless and glad. And it makes me more anxious and more grumpy. Okay? I don't have a verse for that. Maybe we could find one. I'm just telling you, it will never get you there. Because if you're always trying to get there, you're never there. But guess where you can be right now? Still, before God, who has it under control and who loves you. Fearless gladness is something that can only be found in God, in Jesus. And the way to see and remember that God is God wherever you are, whatever you're doing, is to get still before Him. And of course, stillness is at the very heart of the gospel, isn't it? In the gospel, we're told that Christ has come to make a payment we could not pay, to relieve us of a sin debt that we could not ever recover from. And if you want to be saved by Jesus, we have to stop striving and simply trust when Jesus cried, "It is finished," that it was finished. That at the cross, there's nothing we need to add to it and nothing we can ever take away from it. That in fact, if we try to add anything to the cross, like good behavior, we are taking away from it and making that other thing our God. The cross demands stillness, rest, cease striving. Have you come to the cross? Have you been still enough to be honest about that with yourself and with God? Stillness is at the heart of the gospel, and it's at the heart of growth in fearless gladness. And I've told you I'm not so good at being still. I'm still not very good at it. Because when I'm afraid, I want to change something. I want to go do something. I want to call someone. I want to not think about it. When I'm unhappy, the last thing I want to do is be still. And so that's why I'm thankful for Sabbath rest. That's why I'm thankful for this psalm. God is God, and He is handling everything quite well. Nothing of eternal importance ultimately rests on you or me. That's so good. It's made me glad. Now, I've been trying to put some regular patterns of rest into my life, and I'm trying to keep those up. And I guess I'm admitting that to you, so you can reach out and say, "How's that going?" What about you? What are you going to do to get still before God? What are you doing now? What would it look like for you daily to find some stillness, or weekly? Maybe for you it would look like what Trish Warren talks about in an excellent book called Liturgy of the Ordinary. And she just says in there that her habit had been that when she wakes up in the morning, she would just look at her phone first thing and go into the news and everything like that. And she realized it wasn't doing good for her soul. So she decided, first thing in the morning, what I'm going to do is sit still for 30 seconds. Maybe that's what it looks like for you. She says, it's so freeing. What she says is, sometimes I just sit there and I try to be awake, and that's all I'm trying to do. Sometimes I sit there and pray. Sometimes, you know, I worship, but I'm just trying to be still. Maybe that'd be a good place to start. Somebody once described Christianity as rest in motion. I really like that. I think that's what we're about, isn't it? That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to invite the world into rest that is active. Stillness is the secret to fearless happiness. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. So let's be still and know that God is God. Look, there's a lot of good, eternally important work that needs to be done at Fellowship Raleigh and in your life and your home and at your workplace. And God values it all. And if it's done by faith, none of it's done in vain. But we're going to do it by faith. First, we got to get still. So let's do that now and let's pray.